May God bless you. I was also encouraged by something I saw in the songs, and that was in the second song. It said, "And make us know and choose thy way. Plant holy fear in every heart, that we from God may ne'er depart." Message this morning, it comes out of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and I have titled it, "Remember Thy Creator." When we remember our Creator, I'd just like to address that. What does that look like? And we allow Him to choose our path instead of us trying to choose the path for ourselves. Ecclesiastes 11, we'll read verses 9 to chapter 12, verse 7. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." This passage of Scripture can be very encouraging, or it can be very disheartening. Depends what you focus on. And I just remember being a young person, and ahead of me, the thought of getting old, the thought of dying was just sort of mirage. Life ahead of me looked glorious. It looked promising. And I was excited about life. I was excited about finding a job and making money. I was excited about having a wife and a family, and just that was my goal. And I vividly remember just the energy and the zeal and the vision that I had for my life. And it seemed like only but a short time ago that I was that way. That I was at that stage of life. And I'm continually reminded that I'm no longer a young person. Not just in how I feel physically. But here, some time ago, I was at a meeting, and I was one of the oldest men there. And I was very surprised. But again, it was a reminder of where I'm at in life. And this scripture, what I'd like to focus on here is to remember our Creator. It's a reminder and a message for all of us. And this is in the context of a message to you, to those of you that are young. And I'm going to talk to those of you that are younger this morning. But I want all of you to understand that this message is for all of us. I'm not singling out a certain group of people and saying, "This is for you today." It is for you today. But there's something in here that's for all of us. We have an obligation to remember our Creator whether we accept it or not. The evil days are coming. Old age is creeping on. And the opportunity to enjoy life, to be productive and make our mark in life has a short window of time. God wants us to enjoy life while at the same time remembering that he brings us to judgment. That's very clear here in verse 10. You can make the choices you want. You can do as you please. God gives you that opportunity. But remember this, that God will call you to judgment. So the question, how will you remember? You know, the word remember is not used here in recalling or bringing back to mind. It's a part of it. But it's a call to action. It's a call to acknowledge God and to honor him in obedience and in love. It's a constant awareness. It's not something you do on a Sunday morning and then you forget about. But it should be constantly there in your mind. Remember your Creator. Remember who you are called to. Remember who brought you to life. Remember he brought you into this life for a purpose. He has a plan for each one of you. And we dare never, ever let that go stray far from our mind. But our lives, when we remember God, when that awareness is constantly there, we mold and we shape our lives. You know, did you ever say something about someone and you turned around and discovered that person was within hearing distance? Ever happened to any of you? What does it? Alfredo said it happened to me already. Happened several times. And you're somewhat embarrassed, right? You're like, oh, if I'd have known that he was here, I wouldn't have said that. When you're aware that of your Creator at all times, it shapes and it directs you. Amen? It does. And that's really what I want you to get this morning, is remembering your Creator shapes and directs every move of your life. It even goes to your thoughts. Because God, you don't have to think out loud for God to know what you're thinking. God knows your thoughts even before you think them. And so be careful what you think. Be careful how you let your mind stray into areas that are not yours to stray into. Remember your Creator. Now, Paul says it this way in Ephesians 4. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, as I preach to youth, I'm not preaching this message because I think that our youth are out of line and need to hear from me. That is not at all what I'm trying to do this morning. In fact, I'd like to just tell you that I respect and appreciate our youth very much. I have noticed your interest in the things of the Lord. I think that we have an outstanding group of youth in this church. And I just want to bless you for that. I have firsthand, I have felt and seen the longings of your heart. You have a heart that is bent towards God. I'm humbled and honored to be your pastor. Does it mean that you don't have any needs? Or that there's areas of growth that you need? Does it mean that you don't struggle and you have a lack of maturity? Does it mean that sometimes I'm disappointed in some of your choices? Does it mean that sometimes I wish you would have done something different or said it differently? Or maybe you would have been more respectful? There are times when you need correction and be shown a better way. And that's not because there's a flaw on your part. It's because you have a lack of experience. And sometimes those of us that are middle-aged and older forget what it was like to be a young person. And sometimes we get impatient with you. But I want you to know that we want you to grow. And we want to give you the space that you need so that you can flourish. And that you can make mistakes and learn from them without feeling threatened. Or without feeling like we're looking down on you. I want to just give you that. Personally, I want to just extend that to you. We want to give you the space that you need to make mistakes and to correct them. I just want to bless you. Just don't let your failures and your immaturity define you. Can you understand that? Don't let the failures and your areas of immaturity, don't let that define who you are. The world says, youth is for pleasure, middle age for business, and old age for religion. That's the world's philosophy. Youth is for pleasure, middle age for business, and old age for religion. Solomon disagrees with that philosophy. He says that youth is a time for preparation. It's a time for laying a foundation. It's a time to cast vision and to make right choices. That's what your youth time is for. And I challenge you to take time and effort to do that. In Acts chapter 2, if you don't mind turning with me to that, there's a beautiful verse there, a passage of scripture. And it brings this out very clearly. And this is in the context of Peter, after he had received the Holy Spirit in his message. Acts chapter 2, 17 to 21. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Young men shall see visions. And it says that my daughters, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. One of the marks of a godly young man or young woman is that they make a decision with their eye on the future. One of the marks of a godly young person is that they make decisions and choices with their eye on the future. What is the vision for your future family? What do you want your family to be? What kind of church do you want your children and grandchildren to grow up in? Have you thought about that? You know, the choices you make today make some of those automatically direct your family in those paths. Case in point, 20-some years ago, my wife and I moved to this community. Guess where our children are today? Do they live in Lancaster County? They live here. If we would have not have made that decision back in 96, 97, the trajectory of our family would be totally different. I'm not saying that it would have been wrong. It would just be different. But what if we would have decided to do something way different? And it would have caused our children to grow up in an ungodly setting. Where would they be today? Think about the future, young people. What kind of church do you want your children and grandchildren to be a part of? And I'm going to ask this question. Does it matter to you? Maybe it doesn't matter to you. If it doesn't matter to you, then probably you're not a young person that has vision. Like it talks about here in verse 17. Your young men shall see visions. If you're a righteous person, it will matter to you someday. Someday it will matter to you where your children and grandchildren will be. On Tuesday evening, I saw something that inspired me. You, as youth, were on full display on Tuesday evening. And I'd be surprised if most of you understood the full impact of what you were doing. That evening, you invited friends and neighbors from this community to join you in a Thanksgiving celebration. One of the families that come every year to this event told Sadie that evening, she said, "This is our family's favorite night of the year." Do you think it was the food? Do you think it's the fellowship? Do you think it's the singing? Why do they call this their favorite night of the year? Now, what I just mentioned was maybe a part of that, but I don't really think that's what really attracted them. What attracted them is the spirit and the atmosphere that your spirit and attitude conveyed. There's an atmosphere at that meeting that is very inspiring and is very encouraging, and it's because of you. This is your event. And you make it meaningful for those that attend. What's even more powerful to these people, they see you at your best there. But when they see in your street clothes, they see the same person. That is powerful to them. And I just want to encourage you, youth, you're doing well, do continue. Continue to do well. But when people that are at that event, when they see you in your street clothes and they meet the same person, that's powerful. This is young people that are prophesying and seeing visions. And it says that when young people do this, there's going to be signs that follow. These are some of the signs that are following. May God bless you in that. I'd like to look at two young people briefly out of the scripture that made choices and how it turned out. The first one comes out of Hebrews 12, 16 and 17. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright." Esau lived for today. The choices he made were about here and now. The choices he made had to do with his comforts. The choices he made had to do with his immediate desires and passions. Esau did not think about what was going to happen out there. "I'm hungry. I want to eat." In fact, he said, "If I don't eat, I'm going to faint. So what good is the future? I don't have a future if I don't get what I want right now." And he made a choice based on the right now. To him, if it made sense today, that's all that mattered. His choices did not factor in the future. Esau was a man of the field. He loved to hunt, and he was good at it. And one day when he came back from the field, he was met with a wonderful smell. His twin brother Jacob was cooking, and Esau couldn't think of anything else but eat. I'm hungry. I need to eat. And Jacob, I'm not saying Jacob was in his place. That's another story. But the temptation came, and it came through his brother, and he said, look, I'll give you to eat if you sell me your birthright. And Esau in his frame of mind, and this was not inconsistent with how Esau was living. And I want you to understand that too. And I have repeated this again and again. But it is so true that the decisions that you're making are not inconsistent with other decisions that you're making. Your decisions are all geared toward a certain path, whether you understand that or not. And when the big decision comes, the big decision is going to be dictated by the path that you're already taking, by those little choices you are making. And so this seemed like a little choice to Esau. He said, it doesn't matter. This is how he lived. And on an emotional feeling, he made a choice that altered his whole life. He sold his birthright. And it tells us here in Hebrews that he wanted it back. He didn't like the results of later in life when he began to realize that the future does matter. He began to say, I need to backtrack. I want to pull that back. And he said he sought it carefully with tears. He cried like a baby, I think. He wanted that back so bad. But it wasn't his. The decisions that you make young in life, some of those you can correct your path. Others, maybe you can't. And you get too old. And you get so set in your ways that maybe you want to change, but you can't. Because you are so hardened. You are so set in your way. You can't harden. It takes too much effort. And so you can't do it. That's humanly speaking. With the help of God, you can change anything. I want you to know that. But the older you get, the harder it gets to change your ways. Remember that. And please understand this. When you get to be my age, you will understand it more perfectly. But can you just take it and understand that make the right choices today? Esau wished he would have. But he couldn't change. He couldn't change the consequence. We make the choice, but we cannot choose the consequence that those choices bring. Esau was a man who focused on himself. That's one of the marks of Esau. And that's why he made some of the choices that he made. Esau looked at himself. What pleases me? What floats my boat? What gives me the most momentum? He was more concerned about pleasing people than he was about pleasing God. He married a certain woman because he saw that this would please his father. He was an angry man, and he lived without blessing. David is our example of a man who sought God with all his heart. David was faithful at a young age. Did his faithfulness and his commitment to God give him an easy life? No. No. And many times choosing the right thing is the more difficult path. I was reading a book this week written by Merle Herr, and he made this comment. He said, some people choose to serve God because they want the gift of heaven. And it goes along with my message the last time. And I just read it the other day. He said, some people choose to serve God because they want the gift of heaven. He said, others choose to serve God because they want to be transformed into his image. And he said to be transformed in his image is a life of suffering. And that's hard. Where are you? But David was a person. He was willing to take the hard road because he wanted to be like God. David's life is marked by a heart that is bent toward God. Here's some of the how David was. David was obedient to his father. He faithfully executed his duties and responsibilities at home in caring for his father's sheep. He was marked by a person who was obedient to his father. He was also a person that took responsibility. At the risk of his own life, he protected his father's sheep. He was given the job of protecting the sheep. He did it well. When he went to fight Goliath, he was mocked. He was laughed at. And he was misunderstood. But David was not a man that was easily deterred or discouraged. Why? Because he was a visionary person. He looked past the giant and he saw God. And so what people said didn't matter to him because he saw God. David had a healthy respect for authority. You can read that again and again in how he related to Saul. David was a man of courage. David was a man that was marked by humility. Four times scripture says that when David was offered a blessing or a promotion, he used these words. He said, who am I? Four times we have that. Who am I? David was a humble person. Esau was called a profane man, someone who was not considered righteous or holy. David was called a man after God's own heart. Esau brought fear and dissension. David brought unity and security. And these two courses were set when they were young people. My encouragement to our youth is seek God with all you got. Don't wait till tomorrow. Make choices that please God, that God blesses, and serve him with gladness. And may you be known as someone who lived and breathed to be transformed into the image of God. Again, if your desire is to become more like God, and that is your passion in life, that's going to be evident. To our sons and daughters, we invite you to see visions. To the old men, please dream on. Young people, in your visions, you see a growing, flourishing church. You see the kingdom of God grow and expand through the influence of your generation. Old men, continue to dream and share your dreams. It tells us in Acts that the young men are going to see visions and the old men are going to dream dreams. And when youthful vision lines up with the dreams of the experienced, something beautiful happens. Can I repeat that? When the dreams of the young people line up with the dream, when the visions of the young youth line up with the dreams of the experienced, God is going to be glorified and there's going to be forward motion in the kingdom of God. Romans 15, 6. 5 and 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that I want to bless you as youth is your interest in blending with all the generations that are here. I see you interacting with children. I see you interacting with the with the older generation, with the aged. And I want to bless you. Not every church that I visit, I see that. And you're doing so well in that. I want to bless you. And the Bible, this scripture is clear that with one mind and with one mouth, we together, we're unified in promoting Christ. We're unified in moving forward. And may God bless you. And God bless all of us as we do this with one mind and one mouth. Will you please stand for prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you that your word is just pertinent for every age, every stage of life. And Lord, this morning we pray that you would especially bless the youth. Lord, that the words that have been spoken, the word of God that's been brought, that it would just encourage our youth to just push forward in their experience with you. Lord, may nothing hinder them from flourishing and blooming in the kingdom of God. Lord, and just help us that are more experienced and those that have walked the path before them, that we would understand them. We would be willing to give them a listening ear. We would be able to understand their visions. We would be able to blend our dreams and their visions could blend. And Lord, we ask that you would be honored and glorified. And we pray that you would just bless this church with maturity, with growth, and with a brightness of vision and a brightness in this community, that as the world, as our community looks upon us as a congregation, that they would see Jesus and they would glorify him and lift him up as Lord. Lord, we just pray that you would make us effective in our witness in this community. Help us to bring those that are troubled into your kingdom, and to those that are lost, that they would find the light. Lord, just be with those of us that travel as we go to the graduation. We just pray for the Pearls of Grace Ranch. We pray for the youth there, the girls there that are troubled, that are finding their way in life, that they would truly find a path that leads to light. We thank you for their testimony. Again, bless all of us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.